Welcome, Brother Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio Podcast, on this Thursday, May the 22nd, 2025. This broadcast is titled, The Pope of Rome, What He Stands For. The Pope of Rome, What He Stands For. Now, as you all know, there has been a new pope that's been installed after Francis was poisoned. And this new pope is Pope Leo the 14th. That's the name that he chose to be known as. The man's real name is Mr. Provost, Robert Provost, born in 1955, lives to the present, and now has become the Pope of Rome by vote of the College of Cardinals. Four of the cardinals who voted were Jesuits, and there were another five cardinals that were too old to vote. So the Jesuits have chosen a new pope of their making, which they control to run the Roman papacy, or the sovereign state of Vatican City. This man did work with the Jesuits in Peru for some time. And one individual from College of the Holy Cross said that he is a Jesuit. In fact, he is not a Jesuit priest or of the order of the Jesuits. He's of the Augustinian order. But the Jesuits control all the leaders, all the generals of all the other orders in the papacy. That includes the Redemptorists, the Ascensionists, and a host of others. So, this sovereign nation that has its own law, called the canon law, a series of statutes that govern this sovereign nation state, called the sovereign state of Vatican City, is ruled now by one man, but that one man, like the Caesar who ruled the Roman Empire, is controlled by the Jesuit general, the Roman praetor, as he was called, of the Praetorian Guard. The Jesuit order is the Marine Corps and the Praetorian Guard of the Roman papacy, overseeing the King of Rome, ruling the sovereign state of Vatican City. It is a political empire, not just a religion. The religion of Roman Catholicism is Babylonian. You can read about that from a host of books I've taught you over the years. We have The Two Babylons by Hyslop. We have the great book titled Mystery Babylon Religion, written by Ralph Woodrow, who later recanted. And we have a political work written by John Cornwall, titled Hitler's Pope, which he later recanted, and that was Pius XII. The Jesuit order is absolutely in charge of the Roman papacy, and anyone who denies it is either ignorant or a liar. The Jesuits have many strings to their bow. They have secret societies that they also use, the largest one being Scottish Rite Freemasonry, that they wrote all the rites of the Scottish Rite from the 4th to the 33rd degree, as I've proven in my book, quoting various and sundry authors. So, there is a new pope. I don't say we have a new pope. He's not my pope. Now, it's all wrong for those of us in Christ that have been believers in Christ, saved by the grace of God, to say we have a new pope. He's not my pope. They have a new pope. The Romanists have a new pope. They have a new vicar of Christ. They have a new faker. They have a new bombastic individual who dares claim that he is the successor of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then again, the Lord Jesus Christ of the Scriptures is not the same Jesus Christ of Romanism. The Jesus Christ of Romanism is Horus, descending all the way, going from Egypt to Babylon with the son of Semiramis and Nimrod. So you have this ancient mystery Babylonian religion with its pagan trinity, as opposed to the true God, the true one triune God, as we read in the Hebrew scriptures and the Greek scriptures, the Hebrew Masoretic text, the Greek text of the Textus Receptus. I'll take Beza's edition of 1598, the foundation for the AV 1611 Bible. Those are the scriptures. And those are the scriptures that the papacy hates. They seek to destroy us who preach them, who live them, and they seek to destroy or burn or take out of the possession of the Lord's people those scriptures, by hook or by crook. And it's mostly now by crook, by these fake translations, all backed with a bogus Westcott and Hort text that was a secret Greek text for the Revision Committee in England. When they created their English Revised Version, it was a horrible, terrible perversion and mutilation of the Textus Receptus. I should say deviation from the Textus Receptus in 5,788 places. But mystery Babylon religion is Romanism today, and they have their own little Bible. The fourth session of the Council of Trent, it's called Jerome's Latin Vulgate. And this corrupted, evil Greek text that was put upon the Protestant churches in the late 1800s is a work of the Jesuits in making the Textus Receptus and having their own little version of a Greek text match up with Jerome's Latin Vulgate. Jerome's Latin Vulgate is called the Scriptures in the Council of Trent, the fourth session. So, Romanism doesn't have our Christ of the Protestant Reformation, which is a rebirth of the first century Christianity, biblical Bible-based Christianity. And this Romanism has a Christ that's not our Christ. This Romanism has a history out of Alexandria, Egypt, and then our history comes out of Jerusalem and Antioch, Acts chapter 12. So we have a different history, a different Christ, a different church. Rome is the church of Satan. Luther said it was a chase for the souls of men. And by the way, the Jesuits in their design against the Reformation used German Freemasonry to gather the works of Luther, and then in that they put the fake on the Jews and their lies, allegedly written by Luther. And that was done by German Freemasons, and I teach it in my class on Luther, that you need to get. Luther never wrote on the Jews and their lies, but the Jesuits will do anything, lie, cheat, steal, deceive, with smiles on their faces, to move us away from our historic white Anglo-Saxon and Protestant Baptist Calvinist Reformation. And in so doing that, if they can move us away from the scripture, and they can move us away from our true history and rewrite history, which is a fake history that they've written, then they can destroy Western civilization, and everybody's just one generation away from losing their history, from losing the truth as it is. And the truth is to be propounded by the preachers in the pulpits without fear of death. Then you can have a free government. Then you can have a free people that's literate, that knows how to read the Reformation Bible, whether it's Luther's German or the American AV 1611 in his present edition of 1769. Then you can have limited government. Then you can have schools that will work. Then you can have statesmen that arise and will continue to sustain and maintain your civilization. And all the while, the great enemy of this, the great enemy of those of us who seek to maintain Western civilization, to return to the Reformation Bible, to preach the true doctrines and to expose the papists and the papacy and its doctrine, the one leading that, we are always now the enemy of the papacy. As Spurgeon said, no peace with Rome. No peace ever with the papacy. Ever. There is no compromise with them. We don't share anything in common with them. And over the centuries, they have murdered us by the millions and continue to do so under the guise of Rockefeller Medical Allopathic Inquisition, or by the debauching of our currency to make us work 2 and 3 jobs, or to forcefully race-mix us white people so as to race-mix with the blacks and produce mulattoes or mulattas who are not white and always claim to be black, further than destroying the white peoples of Western nations, of Western civilization. This is their design, and it's ceaseless. Ceaseless. Well, the one who leads this, the one who's in charge of this, is none other than this Pope of Rome, Pope Leo XIV. This is what he stands for. This Pope Leo XIV wants all sorts of relief for Gaza. What for? It belongs to Judah. It belongs to the nation of Israel. And that Jewish Freemason Ariel Sharon, when he gave Gaza away in 2005, committed an act of high treason against his own people and facilitated this present war that was started by the Hamas run by the Pope, as well as Benjamin Netanyahu. They worked together to facilitate this massacre of 1,300 Jewish people, to then justify the war in Gaza, to create more anti-Jewish fury in the world, to drive the Jews out of the nations so that they can come back to Israel, intending to be finally slaughtered by the Pope of Rome. And that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to intend to do in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel Yet Future. The Pope hates the Jews. And any of you Jews that think the Jesuits are your friends, you're out of your minds. Any of you Jews that think the papacy is there to protect you and help Israel, you're out of your minds. The Israeli government works for the Pope, but the Israeli government does all sorts of treasonous things against the Jewish people who live in that land, and that land is theirs of right by way of the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 15, period. So, the Pope is behind all these agitators, and the great agitators of states are the Jesuits and their secret societies. They have their black agitators and the Prince Hall Wright Freemasonry, like Louis Farrakhan and Al Sharpton and a host of these other black savage racists that are inciting the black-on-white race war in this country. Brother Freemason Louis Farrakhan said, I need 10,000 soldiers! They're inciting the black race war, and now they're inciting the black war on the Jews with their wicked sinner. Oh, what's his name? Kanye West. And he has a video out now. It's called Nigga Heil Hitler. Nigga Heil Hitler. You check it out. And so what is he doing? He's galvanizing all these ignorant and stupid, racist, bigoted blacks in this country to now blame the Jews for slavery, to blame the Jews for the slave trade, and a host of other things. So their Jesuits are using these factions to create anti-Jewish fury in North America, to kill out most of the 6 million Jews in North America, and for the cream of the crop to drive them out back to Israel. This is what the Pope stands for. This is what he loves. He regards the nation of Israel as the revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. He regards Israel as his own. He regards Jerusalem as his city. There's two famous cities in the Jesuit initiation. The two are Jerusalem and Babylon. And so what we have here is we have a pope who is the enemy of God. The enemy of God. So this pope, doesn't matter how nice he is, doesn't matter how he smiles and waves his little hand, doesn't matter how harmless he seems to be, he's a vicious wolf in sheep's clothing, the most vicious of all. He's the head. He's the Alibaba and the 40 thieves. The Pope's Alibaba. The Pope is this monster. overseeing this massive, horrible, terrible kingdom, a Roman Empire under the guise of Christianity, quote-unquote, and it is anything but Christian. It is Babylonian. It is Roman. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pope is, in fact, an Antichrist. Every Pope is an Antichrist. He claims to be the vicar of Christ, the substitute of Christ, attributing to himself all the powers of Christ. What blasphemy! He's the greatest blasphemer in the world. He is not even apostate. He was never part of the faith. He's a great heretic. He's the greatest heretic of all. So we have this heretic, this thief, this agitator, this murderer. Who do you think's behind all these wars? Who do you think's behind the murder of all these white Protestant South Africans for the last 20 years or so, 30 years? Who do you think it is? The Jesuits in South Africa inciting their black communists, the ANC, to kill white Protestant farmers to the end that when the farmers are gone, the blacks of South Africa are going to starve and be reverted to tribal savagery, just as when they killed out the vast majority of the whites in Rhodesia, aka Zimbabwe, they don't have any food, the place is bankrupt. And that's exactly what the Pope wants, because he hates the black man. He regards the black man as someone to be exploited, enslaved, and then disposed of. And he does this most marvelously with his military dictators in Africa. Any African country whose military dictator is not subject to the Pope will have that military dictator or that president removed, as they removed Haile Selassie and had him murdered. That's the real history of Africa over the last 100 years or so, 200 years. The greatest friends of the black Africans have been white Protestants and Baptists, getting the gospel to them and then teaching them how to grow their own food and a host of other things that they benefited from with white Protestant Western civilization. So, the popes have to destroy that. There can be no Protestant and Baptist peoples in Africa. There can be no Protestant and Baptist peoples in the Middle East. There can be no Protestant and Baptist peoples in China, in the Far East. Remember, the Bible-believing church in Iraq, for the most part, has been destroyed. Destroyed. That was one of the purposes for the war in Iraq. Openly, the Pope was against the war. Secretly, he starts it. If you want to watch a very interesting DVD, it came out several years ago. It's titled No End in Sight. It shows you L. Paul Bremer III was the big pusher behind the starting of this Iraqi war when Saddam Hussein was removed from power. And guess what he is? A Roman Catholic and a Knight of Malta. Inciting that horrible slaughter of the Iraqi people for the benefit of the Pope. And then to drive them into Sunni Islam for the second Sunni caliphate that the Pope's going to rule, because he rules the Wahhabi king of Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi king of UAE, the Wahhabi king of Qatar. I mean, all these leaders of these Sunni Muslims led by the Wahhabis are subject to the Pope and his Jesuits through Freemasonry. They all work together. Why do you think when Donald Trump went over to UAE, they give him the sword dance? Huh? Because he's a high-level brother Freemason working for the Pope, just like the high-level brother Freemasons of the Sunni Muslims are also working for the Pope. They work together under this man called Pope Leo XIV. He's the worldwide international dictator over all nations. That's who he is. And do not be deceived by his gestures or his kind words. I mean, he's going against Israel even now, calling for ceasefire in Gaza. Hey, well, you know what? How about bringing back those 1,300 people that were murdered? How about bringing them back to life? You bring them back to life first, then we'll have a ceasefire. And furthermore, if Egypt, make Egypt receive these people out of, they're not Palestinians, there's no such thing. Make Egypt receive these people out of Gaza, but they're not going to do it. You know why? Because the Egyptian leaders are run by Freemasonry through Cairo Lodge. So it's to continually keep these Arab Muslims in a condition of flux, in surety. It's horrible what's been done to them when many of them do not want to live in Gaza. They want to go live in another Arab country. But they can't do that, boy. You the niggas of the Arab world, all you Palestinians, and we're going to keep you niggas right there in Israel because you're not coming to Qatar. You're not coming to UAE. You're not coming to Egypt. You're not going into Lebanon. You're not going into Jordan. King Hussein killed thousands of them in Black September. They have no place to live. They're a wild card, and that's what the Pope wants. Keep them a wild card until the final Pope of Rome puts an end to this wild card agitation with the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, yet future, when he has a covenant with many nations for 7 years and brings a temporary peace, a temporary end to the Arab-Israeli conflict. The Pope's going to do it. And meanwhile, he's going to continue it. It's going to continue the agitation, and nobody's going to solve it. Donald Trump's not going to have a deal there because that agitation must continue. Who's behind this agitation? Pope Leo XIV. This Pope Leo XIV is just like every other pope before him. Nothing more. Since the revival of the Jesuits in 1814, nothing more than an agent for the Society of Jesus to bring about the Antichrist in the last days of the 70th week of Daniel. He is a placeholder. The Pope is a placeholder. This one will die, there will be another Pope that's a placeholder for the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist will be the final Pope of Rome. He'll be the seventh Roman Caesar. Get my DVD or my PowerPoint on it. I teach all of this very carefully. Final Pope of Rome is the seventh Roman Caesar, Revelation 17:10. He's slain with a sword, Revelation 13:14. He rises from the dead, the Lord raising him from the dead so that he can be the Antichrist for 3.5 years. Because Satan doesn't have the power to raise anybody from the dead, so the Lord's going to do it. This is what the Pope is there for. He's a placeholder to this final end of days scenario. And he knows it. They're all imbibed and completely given over to occult, sorcery, witchcraft, all the things that Satan gives them to have the power, the spiritual power and the political power to rule. And the only thing that sets them back are men of God living a righteous life, believing the word of God and practicing it while denouncing the Roman papacy and his Jesuits and their secret societies, some 600 of them, calling for the Jesuit New World Order that started March 9th, 1933 here in America with FDR, overseen by Jesuit Edmund A. Walsh, and to the end that they would use us Americans as their coolies, as their niggas, as their slaves, abused slaves, because there's nothing wrong with slavery in the Bible. Slavery is okay. It's when you abuse your slaves, it becomes sin. So they can use us as their little step and fetchets, politically, economically, militarily, to do the bidding of the Pope of Rome. To do the bidding of Pope Leo XIV. Know this. Pope Leo XIV is the master of all you American U.S. citizens. He's your master. Not Jesus Christ. Oh, no. You have decided to become surety for an all capital letter state-made entity, and that's how the Lord sees you, clothed with an entity, and hence your master is the Pope. Oh, you may think you serve Christ, and you may, but he's not going to give you the blessing that he'd like to give you. We haven't had a great awakening since March 9th, 1933, when the papacy ousted our civilian government and replaced it with a military government, with that dirty, awful, fornicating Franklin D. Roosevelt, who died of syphilis, or a bullet to the head, but he had syphilis, not polio. Evil, wicked sinner. just like his brother Freemason, the dirty, evil Harry Truman, who okayed for the Jesuits to have their nuclear detonations on the ground in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This is all what the papacy does. It's constant conspiracy against peoples and the liberties of these people. That's why I advocate racial separation of the nationhood, which the Pope hates. He wants all the races miscegenated. He wants them all race mixed. He wants the nations race mixed so they can't resist his power. Nations that have a unique race and language and history and culture with a border have the ability to resist the temporal political power of the Pope. But you mix them all up, which is what the papacy's been doing here since the 1930s or more, and you have a neutralized, neutered population full of leaders that are gutless and don't have the power of God to resist the papacy, which is by the Holy Spirit, and to tell the truth of what they've done. That's black leaders, that's white leaders, that's Indian leaders. I don't call them Native Americans. They're Indians. They're American Indians, just like Russell Means said, head of the Lakota Sioux. I'm an American Indian. I'm not a Native American. That's another communist term, like African American. That's another communist term. You're black American. There's nothing African about you. The African blacks hate you, black Americans. They hate you. I'll never forget, I was had a taxi cab driver in Chicago about last year sometime. He was an Ethiopian. And I said, oh, you're from another African country. He said, oh, yes, yes. We got to talking. He was listening to Christian music in his taxi cab. And it was high music. It was, you know, like Bach. And I said, you know, you African blacks are nothing like these American blacks. He turned around in his seat and he said, we are nothing like them. We are nothing like them. And he got angry about it. These African blacks hate American blacks. They can't stand them. But no African black, no American black leader will tell you that because they're all Masons working for the Pope. So the Pope is busy fomenting this race war in America, inciting the blacks to constant black-on-white crime in America, in this country. Robbery, rape, murder, thievery, day in and day out, weakening the white race. And finally, we're now getting a white backlash, which is a pagan white backlash, and it's going to go right into the new right. And that's exactly where the Jesuits and the Pope want us to go. Because they're the great agitators of the states. That means the end of constitutional limited government, which is Protestant, Bible-based. The Constitution is a Calvinistic Presbyterian document. The Bill of Rights is a Baptist Calvinist document. They called the First Amendment the Baptist First Amendment. Thanks to John Gano, when he met with leaders of the Baptists in Virginia, and they said, you're either going to have a clause in that Constitution securing to us religious liberty, or Virginia's not going to ratify. Rhode Island the same way, which was Baptist and Calvinist. So the Pope doesn't want you to know any of this history. He wants to totally Romanize your history. He wants to have you consumed by all these majority savage blacks that have been groomed to hate us and to kill us and to take our country from us, to take us out of the country. And now they've turned another stage, has turned another corner here now where they can turn all these black majority savage blacks, of what I've always called them, in contrast to the minority civil blacks that are Christian people that I know, and very decent people, for which I want them to have their own country here in North America, rather than be killed with all these majority savage blacks when the new right comes to power and loads all these blacks up and sends them to the FEMA camps, thanks to Ronald Reagan and Oliver North. And Hellcat Hillary Clinton even said, we have to bring these black men to heel. Well, that's going to happen. Just when the new right comes to power, when the military dictator assumes his power, he moves the capital from Washington to Denver, and you watch what unfolds. He abolishes the Supreme Court. He abolishes the Congress, which are, J. Peter Grace called them 535 clowns anyway. And when this happens, everybody thinks he's going to be a hero and a savior, just like Hitler was to the condemned German people, whose Protestants had departed from the Luther Bible, had united up with the Romanists, and now, in so doing, the Lord gave them the Roman Catholic Hitler with his Roman Catholic SS to decimate Germany in the roundups, as well as to have a two-front war, which then the German soldiers would be betrayed and then lose and then occupied and have their country destroyed. And that's exactly what they want to do here. Who's behind that? Leo XIV, Pope Leo XIV. That's the grand design. This is really the grand design exposed. And I'm thankful for men like Lynn Wood. He's a Bible-believing man of God. And he has this, he just won a case against, I believe it was the state of Georgia, had to do with Freemasonry. But I don't know if he's talking about the Jesuits. I wish he would. What we need is some Southern men that are alpha males and Bible believers calling for their state of whatever it might be to declare its independence, no longer to be ruled by the Jesuits who are running the District of Columbia. Fashioned into a city with the District of Columbia Act, waiting for the day of March 9th, 1933 to impose military government in the District of Columbia, and now we're off to the races. Run by presently, Pope Leo XIV. So, this is a rant. And every preacher ought to be ranting against the Pope. It's such a disgrace that an American would be a Pope! God deliver us! What a disgrace for American people to have an American for the Pope. Do you realize how much the papacy hates us? Don't you know the papacy was behind the assassination of Abraham Lincoln when he did not want to go along with the 14th Amendment? Thomas Harris, who was a general and a Baptist and a Calvinist, was on the military commission that tried the conspirators, the 8 conspirators, and he came out and he wrote a book a little later blasting the papacy as the ones who want to destroy our government. And I'll read a particular quotation from him right now. Here is what General Thomas Harris said in 1897 in his book, Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Quote, "Every citizen and every sojourner in this country who is loyal to the Roman Catholic Church is an enemy of our government." Guess what? That means Joe Biden. That means Donald Trump. That means Roger Stone. That means Bannon, Steve Bannon. That means all these, and all the Fox News pundits, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. And on MSNBC, you have the other one. That's the head of MSNBC there. What's his name? Another Irish Catholic. They're all servants of the Pope, and they're all enemies of true American liberty. All of them. Jesse Waters, an Italian Roman Catholic, he's your enemy. So their enemy is an enemy to our government. Of necessity, for he yields his highest allegiance to the Pope of Rome, a foreign potentate who has time and again and anathematized, that means cursed, every fundamental principle of our government. That's right. The Pope considered our Constitution a document of Satan. When we finally had it ratified and put into effect in 1789. He has denounced liberty of conscience, freedom of speech and of press, freedom of worship and of teaching as pestilent and damnable heresies, destructive to order and to the peace and welfare of society. The highest dignitaries of this so-called church have declared their purpose to make this a Roman Catholic country. What do you think is behind this alien Roman Catholic savage invasion into the South, going on since really the days of Ronald Reagan, that Knight of Malta, that servant of the Pope of Rome? That's why they're bringing them all in here, because they're Hispanic, so they can race mix with our white women and debauch our and destroy our white race. Teach their children to serve the Pope. This whole is a racial and religious infestation and invasion. It's an invasion of which the president is to repel an invasion, but they don't call it invasion. They call it illegal immigration. Anything but an invasion, because an invasion he has to repel. And not only all these Hispanics coming up here, you got a whole bunch of Arab Muslims coming up here and a whole bunch of Chinese. That's right. All fifth column in preparation for the civil war that's going to unleash here, the military martial law, and then finally their invasion. So they have this huge fifth column here, ready to help the invading armies, the Chinese, the Russians, the Turks, the Muslims. That's what they're planning. We continue. But to do this, it must be brought to the acceptance of the Pope of Rome as Christ's vice-regent, a representative on earth, invested with all temporal and spiritual authority, above all kings, emperors, and civil rulers. That means the president. Why do you think Trump went to see the Pope? Because Trump, like all the other presidents, is just another step and fetch it for that Antichrist. And any real American president would refuse to go see him. Teddy Roosevelt refused to see him when he went to Europe. Not that he was a good guy, but he knew he couldn't get away with the American populace at that time. They would never have stood for him going to see the Pope. So he didn't go visit the Methodist mission in Rome, and he didn't go see the Pope. The 33rd degree, Teddy Roosevelt. The Pope is above the president. Doesn't matter if he's Republican or Democrat. The Pope rules him. Tells him what to do. Why do you think there's a papal nuncio in District of Columbia? Because the papal nuncio is the representative or the ambassador from the Pope of Rome to advise the president as to what the Pope wants. And that conspirator in the Kennedy assassination, E. Howard Hunt, whose children had their godfather to be Knight of Malta, William F. Buckley. Howard Hunt said the greatest intelligence agency network in the world is the Jesuit order. There's nothing that gets by the Pope and his agents. They know the pulse of every nation, the morality of every people, the movement of every political arising in that country. They know everything, and so they're either causing it or they're going to morph it into what they want it to be. For the Pope, for the universal temporal power of that man of sin, of the Pope, for the forerunner of that man of sin, that son of perdition, because every Pope's an Antichrist, but that man of sin is the final Pope, slain with a sword, risen from the dead to be the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13, of Daniel chapter 7, the beast, Satan possessed. Continuing. It's the Pope of Rome, the supreme judge and lawgiver whose decisions are infallible and final. This was written in 1897. You first had the First Vatican Council there in 1870, where the Pope was declared to be infallible. And when the Jesuits did that, they consolidated all the power of the papacy into the hands of one man, and all they have to do is control that one man, and they can control the entire papal Vatican Empire. That's the pearl purpose of having the Pope declared to be infallible in 1870. And there was great Jesuit intrigue involved in that to bring that to pass. And it's covered in what Greisinger's great work, The Jesuits, The History of the Jesuit Order, is told to the German people. Get it, Theodore Greisinger, The Jesuits. He tells you all about Vatican I. Going on. This would make him lord of the conscience and master of the actions of all men throughout his dominion, which is nothing less than the earth. These are the monstrous claims, and his priests of all grades, including the wily Jesuits, are laboring night and day to make them good in this land of ours. It's already happened. It's happened since March 9, 1933, when the Jesuit order and the papacy took this country, seized every person, place, and thing, ousted the civilian government of our glorious white Anglo-Saxon Protestant constitution, and imposed a Roman emergency war power military government, springing from Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917, they got it. Now it's just a mop-up operation of who they want to extinguish, who they want to get rid of. He goes on. There is no danger when the Roman hierarchy quarters its wily agents in the capital of our nation to exert their influence in shaping our laws and in controlling presidential appointments to the highest and most important offices. Is there no danger? Is there not danger when all our politicians who aspire to national fame feel that in order to succeed they must truckle to Rome and be submissive, like Trump, like Marco Rubio? All a bunch of faithful servants of the Pope. You won't have anybody in Pope's Republican administration that will denounce the Pope of Rome, just like you will have nobody in Biden's Democratic administration denouncing the Pope of Rome. That ain't happening. Because they're all serving Pope Leo the 14th now. Little Joe Biden, that faithful Roman Catholic, Irish Roman Catholic, he was a part of the Kennedy assassination cover-up. He's not supposed to talk about that, and he never did. He's going to die without having said a word, which he should have told the truth if he really loved America, but he doesn't. He loves the papacy. He loves the power of Rome, and that's all he cares about, along with his corrupted son, Hunter. And by the way, Biden sends his children to be educated by Jesuits. Trump sends his children to be educated by the Jesuits. What's the difference? Continuing. Is there not danger when all our politicians who aspire to national fame feel that in order to succeed they must truckle to Rome and be submissive? Is there not danger when the capital of our nation has been captured by the wily Jesuit and Washington is literally in the lap of Rome? And that is a phrase used by a man named Justin Fulton. He was a preacher and he wrote a book called Washington and the Lap of Rome, published in 1888. You got to get it. He tells you that there is a secret wire between the Archbishop there in Baltimore and the White House and the president, especially under Grover Cleveland. He tells you that they're telling the president what to do. Continuing. Go into any and all of the departments of our government and find 7/11 of the government employees in several of them, abject slaves of the Pope, and tell me, is there no danger? Go into all of our cities and larger towns and find our municipal governments in the hands of the faithful servants of this foreign despot, the Pope, and who are corruptly administrating their affairs to enrich the church at the expense of the people, and tell me, is there no danger? Contemplate this alien and dangerous power in complete control of 3/4 of our newspapers and periodicals, and tell me, is there no danger? All the newspapers, for the most part, they have representatives on the Council on Foreign Relations out of New York. Who is running that? The Archbishop of New York. It's the fake press. This is the fake press. It's not only the fake press, fake news. It's the Pope's press. That's what Trump ought to say. Well, this is the Pope's press because it's fake news. Trump is having a giving the president of South Africa, is showing him that all the murders of the white South Africans. And somebody from NBC says, oh, what about the gift, the jet that Qatar gave? There's nothing to do with the topic. It's an agitation, which will ultimately lead one day to complete and total censorship of the press. And the people will buy it because of the abuse that the left-wing socialist, communist, Jesuitical press has put upon us for the last 60, 70 years. Continuing. In the hands of the faithful servants of this foreign despot, the Pope, and who are corruptly administering their affairs to enrich the church at the expense of the people, and tell me, is there no danger? Lots of money goes to the Pope. The old Archie Bunker was right on All in the Family. In one of those episodes, he said, yeah, he said the income tax, 1/3 of it goes to the Jews, 1/3 of it goes to, what was it, the Mafia, and the other third goes to the Pope. Well, he was right about the Pope, and he was right about the Mafia. Not the Jews, necessarily. The Jews are facilitating the growth of the Pope's Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders like Kissinger and others. But they have no love for the Jewish people. The Jewish people have been completely, totally, and absolutely betrayed by the Jewish leaders in this country. Why do you think Abraham Foxman, when he was head of the ADL, did everything he could to have perfidy suppressed, written by a Jew, Ben Heck, showing that the Nazi SS and the labor Zionists were working together? When he proved that in his great book, Perfidy, I was in Toronto and went to a Jewish bookstore, and the owner told me when that book came out, the ADL bought up every copy and did everything they could to suppress it. is they don't want you to know that Abraham Foxman was a Knight of Malta working for the Pope, running this bogus Jewish operation pretending to be for the Jew, when Barry Chambers told me personally, he said the ADL creates anti-Jewish fury. Of course it does. That's the reason the Pope is doing it, to create anti-Jewish fury here, to persecute the Jews, to drive them all out, or to kill them all out, so the judgment of God can fall upon us, the curse of the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 15. That's right. And Genesis 12, anticipating the Abrahamic covenant. Yeah. It's all a very brilliant plan. And we need to wake up and stop acting like children and responding emotionally to everything these sinners put in front of us on the news. We have to think, what's really behind this? Did this really happen? What's the end game if this did really happen? We have to start thinking with a Hegelian dialectic. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. We have to start thinking like this on different lines of thought at the same time. Going on. It is clear that Rome is rapidly getting control of all the sources of power in the United States, both in civil and military affairs. As she is doing so in pursuance of a well-considered and wisely laid plan, and for the very purpose of subverting our government, unquote. That's exactly what's happening today. This one quotation is enough to give you total discernment on what's happening right now in this country. And who wrote it? Who said this? The great Baptist, who was a Calvinist, Thomas M. Harris in 1897, Brigadier General in the U.S. Army. He was part of the military commission to try the conspirators. And he wrote a book called Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. You got to get it. That needs to be in your library. And all you black men, you ought to really read it, because it's Lincoln that freed you. It's Lincoln that facilitated the 13th Amendment, and he would have facilitated the 14th Amendment, but he would not have done it. And so because he wasn't going to go along with it, the Jesuits killed him. They wouldn't allow him a second term, because he's not going to fulfill the destiny of why we had the murderous, awful, terrible war between the states that resulted in over 700,000 deaths of American men, particularly American white men, and particularly Protestants in the South. So that we can make an empire out of the little republic, when we got to have a 14th Amendment centralizing citizenship into national citizenship and no longer federal citizenship, so we can have a national civilian government and further move to an empire. And that's why they killed Lincoln, because he was not going along with it. As I prove in my book, Vatican Assassins, this is the system that Pope Leo XIV stands for. And when you give your allegiance, you Roman Catholics, when you start to say, oh, we have such a wonderful new pope, this is what he stands for. This is his history. But let's go a little farther. To further prove to you the power of this Pope Leo XIV, here is what Henry Cardinal Manning said in 1874. He was Roman Catholic Archbishop of Westminster in England. In his work, Essays on Religion and Literature, we read here, quote, to depose kings and emperors is as much a right as to excommunicate individuals and to lay kingdoms under an interdict. When a kingdom is put under interdict, you cannot get rid of the garbage, you can't bury the dead, you can't perform marriages. In other words, your culture begins to die. An interdict, the most recent interdict what they had was with COVID-19, bogus, false right of the Pope. They put this country under an interdict, saying, everybody got to wear a mask now. We have this horrible, terrible virus. When it was fake, there is no COVID virus. And they had the Jesuit Fauci up front leading the way. When are they going to denounce the Jesuits as the masters behind this whole pandemic, bogus pandemic square scare that resulted in the death of millions of people and is going to result in more deaths thanks to the Jesuit demosphere? When people are going to start dying of that more and more. And who's behind that? Jesuit Anthony Fauci. Jesuit Anthony Fauci. The Jesuits were behind this. And Dr. Brian Artis used to be very vocal about this. He just came out with a book. I recently got it. His book, Brian Artis' book, is titled Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies, Restoring Health and Hope for Humanity, by Dr. Brian Artis, A-R-D-I-S. Dr. Brian Artis used to denounce the Jesuits in his videos. He doesn't do it anymore. I went to see him when he spoke publicly up in Michigan last year sometime. And he rightfully, everything he said was the truth, except he didn't blame the Jesuits like he used to, because there was a Jesuit there named, what was his name? He has an intelligence briefing, Douglas Gabriel. And I talked to Douglas, and I said, Douglas, you know the Jesuits run everything. He said, oh, you sound like Chris Strunk. Chris Strunk is now dead, one of my friends. So I don't know if it was Douglas Gabriel that got to Dr. Brian Artis, because he was Gabriel's a Jesuit. He was a Jesuit and been imbibed in there and taught by Jesuits, kind of the host of the meeting. But somebody got to Dr. Artis and said, hey, listen, boy, you're going to stop talking about the Jesuits. Because you're right, they did do it. And he did. I checked his book. There's not one mention of the Jesuits there. There's mentions of Anthony Fauci. I believe that he was a Jesuit, but that's about it. But in the index, there's no index on the Jesuits. He should have had it. The Jesuits are a military order. The military order of the Society of Jesus. It's all military, man. It's all war. They have a formation. It's a military basic training and other education where they're formatted, where they have their formation to do what they're told to do when they're put in their specialty. It's like a huge octopus, as was discovered by Danny Casolaro. And if you want to watch a special on TV, look at American Conspiracies, the Octopus Murders, the murder of Danny Casolaro. Yep. Just like they murdered Gary Webb when he wrote Dark Alliance, when he fingered William J. Casey with the Mafia and with the Contras. Read it. Get it. Weep. This is the power of the papacy. And when honest men want to destroy it, if they're not protected by God, they're all going to get killed. They're going to get whacked. This is the papal empire in which we live today. And this man, Pope Leo XIV, is the head of it. Here's another quotation. Henry Cardinal Manning. As I previously started to read it. To depose kings and emperors is as much a right as to excommunicate individuals to lay kingdoms under an interdict. These are not derived or delegated rights, but are of the essence of that royal authority, capital R, of Christ with which his vice-regents on earth are vested. Get that. Everybody that's ruling a country is a servant of the Pope, a.k.a. the vicar of Christ. And if you think you're going to have a country without the Pope telling you what to do or controlling the leadership of it, you're absolutely wrong, unless your people are Bible-believing people and your leaders are patriotic. There was one particular Bible-believing patriotic leader. His name was, Henrik Verwoerd. Henrik Verwoerd of South Africa. In the 60s, he advocated racial separation in South Africa, and he was working with other black leaders wanting racial separation for those blacks in South America. I think it was Soweto. Well, guess what happens to Mr. Henrik Verwoerd? You look him up. There were several attempted assassination attempts on him. And finally, some Jesuit assassin comes up into him in the South African parliament, takes out a knife, and knifes him through the heart, kills him dead. His blood running all over the rug. And they did not remove that bloodstained rug out of that South African parliament for some 4 years as a warning to anybody who is not going to go along with doing away with apartheid and forcefully race mixing the South Africa for the destruction of the whites. Anybody who's going to be against that, we're going to kill you just like we killed Henrik Verwoerd, that Dutch Protestant. This is all going back to the Pope of Rome and his Jesuit military order. Going on, here's another quotation. We read, Domingos Barbosa and other canonists hold that, quote, a king who has become a heretic can be removed from his kingdom by the Pope, who to whom the right of electing a successor passes, if his sons and kindred are also heretics. There is nothing strange in attributing to the Roman pontiff as the vicar of him, that's namely Christ, call caps, whose is the earth and the fullness thereof. Goes on to say, the fullest authority and power to lay bare a just cause, moving him not only to the spiritual but also the material sword, and so to transfer sovereignties, break scepters, and remove crowns. And I add, as in the Kennedy assassination. The Kennedy assassination was totally overseen by Pope Paul VI, carried out by his Jesuits here, and his key prince of the church, Francis Cardinal Spellman. But they don't want to debate me about that because they know I proved it in my book, Vatican Assassins. And so we just be quiet and maybe they'll forget about Phelps. We go on in this quotation. The celebrated constitution or bull Unum Sanctum teaches that both swords, the spiritual and the material, are in the power of the church. But the latter is to be wielded for the church. That's the temporal power, the material sword. The former by the church. One by the hand of the priest, the other by the hand of kings and magistrates, but at the pleasure and sufferance of the priest. So the priests are to oversee the government that's going to persecute you, Christian man, Bible-believing Baptist and Protestant. One sword must be under the other, and the temporal authority must be subject to the spiritual power. Unquote. Who said this? Herbert Cardinal Vaughan, 1893. Archbishop of Westminster, in the work Catholic Dictionary, 4th edition. No. This is what Pope Leo XIV stands for. This is why the people, the Protestants, the white Baptists and Protestants of Texas, declared their independence from Mexico by saying it's the priests that were running the country, and the greatest enemies of political liberty were the priests and the military. This is white Anglo-Saxon Protestants of Texas revolting against the temporal power of the Pope that was ruling Mexico and seeking to further subdue the Protestants of Texas. That's what gave rise to the writing of the Texas Constitution, written by a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I'm going to conclude now with the maxims of the Jesuits in enforcing the Pope's power. And you can find this in my book, Vatican Assassins. 1. There is but one supreme authority in the world, and that is the Pope. 2. God hath delivered over unto the Pope the power and rule of heaven and earth, therefore we must be obedient unto him upon pain of damnation. 3. All right and power are lodged in his breast. 4. No law can be made to bind Christians, but by the Pope's authority, as of old the Israelites received none but by Moses. 5. The gospel would not be the gospel if the Pope had not approved of it. What do you do with that, Protestant? What do you do with that, Baptist, that are chumming up to the Pope? You Southern Baptists slowly becoming Catholics? Southern Baptist Convention? What are you honeying up to the Pope for? He hates you. They're the ones behind your invasion into Texas with all these Hispanic Roman Catholic savages. Committing crime everywhere and killing your people. It's the Pope that's behind this with his Jesuits. The Pope can take away any man's right and give it to another. That's 6. 7. The Pope can do anything above all right, against all right, and without all right. You see, the Pope is without law. He's not bound by anything. He can do whatever damnable thing he wants to. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. He's got an army to back him up. And an intelligence community to pick you off if the order's given. Because all the intelligence agencies work together. The Russian intelligence, American intelligence, Mossad, Pakistani intelligence, all of them work together. Subject to the Pope. 8. If Christ commands one thing and the Pope another thing, the Pope is rather to obey than be obeyed than Jesus Christ. How do you like that? 9. The Pope's decretory letters are to be received and esteemed as authentic as the Word of God or the Holy Scriptures. This is a sign of any cult, when the cult leader's writings or speeches are on an equal authority with Scripture. This Rome is the biggest cult in the world. That's why the Apostle John, in trying to wake us up in John chapter 5, verse 18, he says, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." What's the Pope? He's an idol. Everybody falls down, kisses his ring, thinks he's somebody special. He's just a sinner like anybody else who needs to be saved, and he never will be saved because he claims to be Jesus Christ, the Vicar of Christ. Keep yourselves from idols. The Pope is an idol. To go to his churches, his Roman Catholic churches, is idol worship. I just went to a wedding a few months ago in Harrisburg, and it was the Latin Mass there in Harrisburg, a Jesuit little church. And what did they have? They had their cross as an idol up front, and they were holding up their little Jesus cookie, their little monstrance there up to it before they and say a few words. This is idolatry, idol worship, Babylonian, having nothing to do with the Bible or us. And their government that they create out of that idolatrous religion oppresses us. It's absolutist. Its powers are not limited. Continuing. Number 10. It is sacrilege to question the Pope's actions. And he is cursed of God who violates the Pope's censures. Yeah, like they cursed Luther. Like they cursed Elizabeth, the great Queen Bess of England. Tried to assassinate her at least 5 times. You get the book on the Babington plot. Read about it. The Ridolfi plot. The Babington plot. And others. The Throgmorton plot. The Jesuits seeking to kill any queen, any king, any leader that would dare cross swords with the papacy. If the Pope affirms that to be black, which our eyes judge to be white, we ought also then to declare that if it's black, upon pain of our souls. So this dictator comes out and tells you, well, it looks white to you, well, it's really black. It looks bad to you, but it's really good. Or it looks good to you, but it's really bad. They can reverse everything. That's why in their Masonic lodges, they always have white and black flooring. What is white is black. What is black is white. Controlling both ends of the spectrum. Both opposite ends. And making you believe something that's not true. On pain of your souls. And that's another horrible thing of work salvation. If you don't do it, we tell you to now, boy, you're going to go to hell. When the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath light. He that hath not the Son hath not light. It's all about Jesus Christ, whether you have him or not. Whether you are saved or not. Depends your internal destiny. Not about what you do. It's about what you believe. Whether you're saved or not. That's why the Pope hates the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. You believe that, the Pope can't get you to do what he wants you to do. Verse 12. The Pope hath the sole rule and power of the whole world in temporals. That means political matters. As well as in spirituals. That means what to believe about God. And therefore can depose emperors and kings and may dispose of their dominions as he shall think convenient. How do you like that? All you people think you're ruling your country, you're out of your minds. All you black men there in Africa, we're going to be ruling in Africa. You're not going to do nothing, boy, except what the Pope tells you what to do. And they just recently assassinated a black leader of some black nation there. He got a little too out of line, wanted to have his own country there and run it. Bye-bye. Murder. One of his own guards killed him. That's how they do it. They get next to you through a trusted agent and use him to kill you. That's what they did to Léon Gambetta, the president of France in the 1880s. They used his mistress to shoot him. shoot him with a silver bullet. Yep. They use someone near to you to kill you. That's what they did with Oliver Cromwell. They used his doctor, Dr. Bate, to poison him and kill Cromwell. The trenches of murder are filled with kings having been victims of the Jesuit order. And then they bury it, and they control the history, so you can't know about it now, boy. You can't know about it, you unadept, uninitiated fool. That's what they think of you. Going on. 13. If the Pope shall depose a king and give his kingdom to another, and the people will not receive him, the Pope may bring him in by force of arms, because he be his judge of all and in the stead of God on earth. So if he pulls up and make a military dictator in your country and you don't like it, why, he'll just bring in the American military to shove him down your throat. How about that? I had a student, he was in SEAL Team 6, and he told me that Colin Powell dispatched his SEAL Team 6 to rescue Aristide, the black dictator of Haiti. Okay? And Colin Powell told him, that mulatto told him, this white man, Billy Hoffman was SEAL Team 6. Billy told me, Colin Powell told us, if you don't get back Aristide, don't come back. And Billy was in the highest SEAL team, the SEAL Team 6. Because the Jesuits run Colin Powell. They run the military advisors, and they tell the SEAL teams what to do. Overthrow somebody, kill somebody over here. It's all for the benefit of the papacy and not for American benefit. People tell me, thank you for your service, Eric. Don't thank me for my service. I wasn't serving you. I was serving the Pope of Rome. That's why I got out of the Air Force, and that's why I threw my uniform away after I found out I was a sucker. For 5 years in a military run for the benefit of the Pope with all your Masonic master sergeants everywhere. Never forget, a guy sitting to me in the chow hall one day, he said, you see those six chief master sergeants sitting over there? It was the NCO club. He said, they're all Masons. I said, really? Yeah. So the Jesuits are in the military through Freemasonry. Whether you're a 5-level, 3-level, 5-level, or 9-level, or 7-level, 9-level, that's all Masonic. You can see those level stuff. If you go to Harrisburg Masonic Lodge, that big lodge down there, look up in the lights and you'll see a compass with 3-level, 5-level, 7-level, 9-level. It's all, that Masonic design, that Masonic doctrine was brought into the Air Force. It's all for the benefit of the Pope. We've been used as suckers. And every time you look into the mirror, you ought to see sucker. I'm a sucker. Repent and then do something about it. Trust the Lord to lead you to do that which is right in resisting this wherever your influence is. Number 14. Not to believe that the Pope can depose kings is to be, and that deservedly, damned for heresy. If you don't believe the Pope has the right to get rid of political leaders, you're a heretic and you're damned. The Pope can do anything he wants to do under the advice of the Jesuits. Now, if there's a Pope who thinks he's the Pope and he's going to start to investigate Vatican Bank like Pope John Paul I did, why, they'll just kill him using a mafia killer. And you've got to read the book called When the Bullet Hits the Bone, written by the mafioso, I think he's a Luciano. Showed that he poisoned Pope John Paul I. They'll use the mafia, they'll use the CIA, they all work together. If you think you're the Pope and you have some power, you're out of your mind. If you think you're the President of the United States and you have some power, you're out of your mind. That's what JFK pulled. JFK said, we're going to get out of Nam by 1965. And Pope said, no, you're not, boy. So they arranged the assassination, and LBJ is a part of it. You get the book by Madeline Duncan Brown, his Roman Catholic concubine. She wrote a book called Texas in the Morning. And he talks about the night before at the Murchison's mansion, those Kennedys will never embarrass me again, because LBJ was in on it. Roger Stone was right, but he was just a player. LBJ's a player. So was J. Edgar Hoover. So was John Connally. So were the other players in it, but they were all subject to the Archbishop of Dallas-Fort Worth, who was Thomas Kiley Gorman. And Thomas Kiley Gorman was subject to Francis Cardinal Spellman. They're going to carry out their assassination. They'll cover it up with Knights of Malta like William F. Buckley on firing line or whatever, so that you never will know the truth. And even Trump won't tell you. The things that were released under his administration, they'll never tell you Francis Cardinal Spellman was behind it. They'll never tell you if Frank Sturgis was working for Spellman. Frank Sturgis had a 22-page confession that he gave to Terence Cardinal Cook, the cardinal after Spellman, detailing everything that happened in the assassination, including G. Gordon Liddy's murder of Officer Tippett in Dallas. Yeah, G. Gordon Liddy did that. Good Catholic boy. Are we getting sick of this power of the Pope yet in America? Huh? Are you getting sick of being played off against each other? Being a sucker? Sent over to fight a crusade in Iraq that's only intended to destroy the Shia and the Christian people there, as well as in Afghanistan, to have a fight there and then destroy the real patriots of Afghanistan so that the Jesuits are in total control of the Taliban and those Wahhabi Muslims selling off $85 billion worth of our weapons to other Muslim countries in China, whatever, building our Sino-Soviet Muslim invaders for the future. And what do you think Trump's doing going over there to Saudi Arabia, getting a sword dance with a king, and they call him the king, you know, and appoint him as a king? Why do you think they're doing that? Because he's working for the Pope, and those Saudi Arabian leaders and other Muslim leaders are working for the Pope, and they're doing the same thing for him. Trump's going to do some things here. One of the things he's going to do is he's going to facilitate the building of the Third Hebrew Temple if he lives long enough. And the top Muslim Freemasons, along with the Jewish Freemasons, they all want it because that's what the Pope wants. The Temple Mount is owned by the Pope. It was deeded to the papacy in 1993 by Yossi Belin at the time of the Oslo Accords. Wake up! None of this is for our benefit. All serving the Pope. 13. If the Pope... Number 15. Christ had not done wisely if he had not left the Pope power to depose kings. You can have all your elections you want. You can have all the candidates you want. In the final analysis, the Pope's going to control which candidate is going to be the president here. And don't you think for one second, that Trump is not serving the Pope. He is. Just like Biden did, but they're both extremes. One is the thesis, the one is the antithesis. What's the end game? The new right fascism of the neo-Catholics? The Beast Reawakens of Martin Lee, that book? Which is fascism? 16. If a king be a heretic or favorer of heresy, he may be deposed. That's right. Anybody who facilitates the preaching of the gospel may be deposed. Get rid of him. 17. If the Pope shall declare a king to be a heretic, he hath no right to his kingdom, and the Pope may depose him. That's right. That's what they tried to do with Bismarck. They had two assassination attempts on Otto von Bismarck. Because he was a heretic. Because he censored the priests with the Falk Laws. Because the Jesuits were expelled from Germany in 1872 during the chancellorship of Bismarck as he was working for the Kaiser Wilhelm I. They tried to kill Wilhelm, they tried to kill Bismarck. We can get rid of anybody we want to kill because the Pope has all power from Christ. And that's what Leo XIV represents. That's what he will do, and he will manifest that whenever he's told to do by the high Jesuit advisors that he has. And his gray Jesuits, and his multi-gigamillionaire Jesuit coadjutors like the Pallavicinis and the Colonnas and the Orsinis and the Aldobrandinis. All these guys are papal knights controlling the finances of the world for the benefit of the temporal power of the Pope. No such thing as a country having independent finances, real gold and silver coin, or currency redeemable and such. No country can ever have its own economy where the people can produce it and become wealthy as we used to do, as we white people used to do when we were Protestants and had our Protestant nations. the wealthiest nations in the world. And the Pope got to get rid of that British sovereign. Got to get rid of that American $20 American eagle there. Got to get rid of that walking liberty of silver. Got to get rid of all of it. Got to give them paper. Got to give them indulgences. Because we got to control their economy. Got to control labor and capital. You control labor and capital. You control everything in that country. The Pope's got it all. To the end of imposing what he wants to do here in furthering his temporal political power. Pursuant to these maxims of the papacy. These are maxims. This is the law of the papacy. It doesn't matter how nice the Pope is. This is the law that he follows. This is what he stands for. 18. The people can give the liberty, the Pope can give the people liberty either to choose or to take new masters. Yeah. I'm going to give you the liberty to have an election here, boy. So you can think you have a hand in your political outcome of your country. Ah, what a deception. We all go to vote. Make sure you show up and vote. When the voting machines are rigged, are they going to have that other rig machine they had there in the Trump's election where they rigged that and nobody got prosecuted, nobody went to jail? They can choose new masters. By this means, they keep all kings and princes in their obedience and submission to the Pope. That's right. The American Senate, I maintain, is entirely in the hands of the Pope. I don't believe they have a true election for American senators. I mean, we have this one from Pennsylvania here. What's his name? Senator Fentanyl. What's his name? Fentanyl, whatever. They put in who they want. They got Arlen Specter. They put him in there for, what, 5 terms after he was a good little Jewish attorney for the Pope and covering up the Kennedy assassination with the Warren Commission. I mean, you got Leahy, that Irish Catholic. What was he, up in Connecticut, I think? All these terms. Tortured Kathy O'Brien and her little daughter. You read the book. Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. Read it. Read all about Leahy, that wicked sinner. All these senators are busy sucking the teat of the Pope and becoming rich by it and betraying the people. As Senator Edward Kennedy, he was another one. We're going to do what the Pope tells us to do. Meanwhile, bring out the booze and we'll have a ball if that's all there is, like Peggy Lee used to sing. Okay? Going on. 19. All Protestants are heretics, and therefore they ought to be killed. Trump was getting all over the savage tribal king of South Africa, called the president, suited out in a white man's suit, looking like he had white civility. And he showed that Julius Malema was causing all these blacks in a huge stadium of probably 100,000 black savages to kill the Boer. And in a revolution, we have to kill people. Who are the Boers? They're Protestants. They're white Protestants. Who are the Afrikaners? They're white Protestants. Coming from white Protestants of the French and the German and the Dutch. It's all according to the Council of Trent. Everything that's going down in South Africa, which is going to be going down here too, is all pursuant to the Jesuit Order's Council of Trent to kill off the white people, to disenfranchise them. They're all in privilege, so we got to all reduce them to nothing. To the destruction of these white Protestant nations, facilitating an easier invasion by the red Chinese who hate the blacks, aided by the Japanese who hate the blacks here, aided by the Koreans who really hate the blacks here. They know all the black American soldiers' rape that took place there in Korea. And so when they come back, it's going to be getting vengeance now. That's right. And you couple that with the Russian hatred for the blacks, and you couple that with a Muslim hatred, especially the Turks. The Turks hate American blacks. You're going to have a mass extermination of the American black people in this country who turned on their best friends and the only ones that could have helped save them, and that's the white men of this country who are Protestants and Baptists. Brilliant how the Jesuits play off different peoples against each other. Brilliant. And they'll always get away with it unless some preachers wake up to denounce it from the pulpit and in their books that they may write. Lastly, it is better and safer to make allegiance and friendship or amity with Muslim Turks, infidels, and I put communist infidels, or, and I had Talmudic or anti-Torah Zionist Jews. It's better and safer to make alliance and amity with Turks, infidels, and or Jews than with, and I add Reformation, Bible-believing, heretic Protestants, and I put Anabaptists, because Baptists are not Protestants, because they may draw us into the errors of their novelties. They're afraid that Catholic people are going to get saved when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, make friendship with the Turks, with the Muslims, make friendship with the communists, make friendship with the labor Zionist Jews, the Masonic Jews, but don't make any friendship with those people who believe the Bible is the final authority of faith and practice, and who seek to see people saved and their destiny turned from the power of Satan to the power of God, according to Acts chapter 20, when Christ is speaking to the Apostle Paul. No, we can't do that. In conclusion, this is what Pope Leo XIV stands for. Everything that I just told you. I know it's gone for an hour and 20 minutes, but you needed to know this. And would to God that we white people who believe the Bible will start a movement, as I am moving for, to separate a portion of this country for white Bible-believing Protestants. Only we can live there. No Catholics, no blacks, no Buddhists, no Hindus, no Sikhs. We live there. That's our country. And we're going to preserve our race, language, and culture and our glorious history. And I've also decided to start another organization for black Baptists and Bible believers, that they can have their own country. No whites will be allowed in there. No whites can own property. No blacks can own property in my country. It's for white people that we might prosper and preserve our race, language, and culture. It should be done for blacks who are Bible believers. But this miscegenation, this forced race mixing in destroying Western civilization is all a hand of the Jesuits. And there's no cleaning up Washington. There's no draining the swamp. That's not going to happen. Trump is part of the swamp. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're not saved, you're condemned. The Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. If we get what we deserve, we're going to have to suffer an eternal death in the lake of fire. Revelation 20. But there is an out. This is a time of grace. This is a time where God has set aside his wrath for the purpose of saving his elect, those that will believe the gospel. And I trust you listening are one of them. What do you need to do? The Bible is clear. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. This is the gospel by which you're saved. There is no other gospel. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, he's commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn to God from our idols and believing by faith this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you believed yet today, my friend? I'm not asking you to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to repent and believe the gospel. And it's one act of repentance and belief. It's not separate. And so when you truly repent and believe this gospel, the Lord will save you, bring you into the kingdom of God, baptize you in the body of Christ, seal you to the day of redemption, and hence you have escaped your condemnation that we also rightfully deserve. Secondly, you now will have the power of the Spirit of God to resist this international crime network of Pope Leo XIV as he rules all nations through the militaries of the most powerful nations. And would to God he would set them back in answer to our prayers, which is the only way that can happen, evidenced by the history of the Protestant Reformation and the founding of Western civilization in 1648, with the end of the 30 Years' War, with the Westminster Confession of Faith and the other, with the Peace of Westphalia of 1648 that started modern civilization, and the Peace of Munster. Lord, answer the people of his Dutch believers and his German believers. You can answer our prayers too. So you know what to do. You know what Pope Leo XIV stands for. May God help us to do that which is pleasing in his eyes. Until the next time we meet, Maranatha. Oh, and one more thing. You can send your gifts to RBPB Church at Comcast.net. rbpbchurch@comcast.net or rbpbdonate@comcast.net, or you can go to my Cash App at hashtag Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. Or you can send a check to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Appreciate your gifts. Thank you for those of you who have been giving. And may you continue to give to enable me to get this message out. And so until the next time we meet, Maranatha, Lord be with you.